Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bechor Islam Etes. We begin at the Mishnah, which is around 20 lines from the top of the Amid. So, some more examples of mumin, of blemishes, of qualifying blemishes, which allow the Bechor, rather than being taken to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, it lets it be shechted anywhere. Here goes. Says the Mishnah, Choytmai, Shenika. So his nose has a hole, Shenivgam, it's nicked, it's missing, Shenizdak, missing a piece, or split, Sfamai, or Sfasai, according to others. So its lip, likewise, Shenikva, has a hole, Shenivgam, got nicked, Shenizdak, split. Tanarabbanan, says the Gemara, has to be visible from the outside. Nikvu Choytmin, Zeltechse, so his nostrils have this, you know, hole going through. Mibachutz, if it's from the visible from the outside, so it's the outer wall going into the cavity, hareza mum, it's a qualifying blemish, because that's the one of the preconditions, that the mum has to be visible from the outside, as per the pasuk, kol mum ra. It has to be visibly blemished. But mibifnib, if it's on the inside only, so let's say it's, you know, on the dividing wall between the two compartments, einoy mum, it doesn't qualify as a mum. Likewise, Fasai, his lip, Shenikva, Shenifkum, Shenizdaka, Amra Papa. You meant to know that it's, again, on the exterior, Torah, the row, Bara, outside, the outer layer, the Sifsi of his lip, meaning the split, all that has to be on the outside as opposed to on the inside. Says the Mishnah Chutin, going to Rashi, these are the gums in which the teeth of the animal are situated. Chutnachetzoinos, the ones that are to the front of the mouth, visible. Shenivgimu, Shenigmumu, they're nicked, they're nigmumu, they've been sort of like notched. The Rambam Pirsha Mishnah learns that they're sort of disintegrated, so there's almost nothing left. So different shatim, either notched on the top or just worn out. In any case, it's damaged. And that qualifies as a mum. But hapnimim versus the internal, gums, the back of the mouth, which aren't visible from the outside, shenekru. There, it's only an issue if it's totally uprooted and gone. In which case, now it's visible. Visibly damaged. Rabbi Chanina Tiemis Omer, Ein boitkim ha tiemis lefnim. Tiemis are those teeth, sort of towards the back, which are like double-edged teeth. That's why it's called tiyemis. Tiyemis, like a lulav, you know, the middle leaf, which is a double leaf, like a ta'im, like a twin. So we don't need to check from that point onward towards the back because it's out of sight, it's concealed. V'afleis ha-tiyemis, and likewise, tiyemis itself, again, would not pose an issue of mum because it's concealed. Tanur Rabbanan, Mishnah speaks about ha-tiyemis. What is that? Eze o-tiyemis? Min ha-tiyemis v'lefnim. According to Tanakama, the first sheet in the Brisa now, starting from those double teeth towards the back, that's concealed out of sight, not an issue. The tiyemis atzmak lefnim. Likewise, the gums underneath the tiyemis itself are regarded like the external ones, the interior ones, and don't pose a mum concern. That's Tanakama. So from tiyemis onward, Rabbi Shimon Kapotzoy Eimer, in shechten el alachitzoynes bavad. The only time you can allow shechita if there's an issue in the outer ones, the ones towards the front. Rabbi Chanina ben Tignus Omer, don't pay attention to those double teeth, they don't pose an issue. Now, Micah Omar, but what does he mean by this? Vesu, furthermore, we have a repetition in this price. Tanakama says only in the back, and so does Rabbi Shoban Kaputsoi. Vesu, furthermore, Rabbi Shoban Kaputsoi, who says only check towards the back, Haino Tanakama is exactly mirroring the opinion of Tanakama. So why does the Braisa present it as three shittas? Chesura mechzer achitani mishnah, the Braisa should be learned as though it's missing some words, and you read it as follows. Tanakama starts that what's considered tiyemis is ezeu apnimis. What's considered pnimis? So he's referring to the halacha that we had in the Mishnah as well. That only pnimis poses an issue, the ones in the back. What's the starting point? Minatiyemis lefnim, starting from the double teeth towards the back. Vatiyemis atzmak lefnim. Likewise, those double teeth are considered far enough out of sight and regarded as the back of the mouth. When do we discount any mum in that area because of its concealment? If it's just, you know, nicked and notched or whatever, but suppose it's totally absent, totally removed. So that could be seen even from the outside because it's such a, you know, pronounced difference. And therefore, shechten, you could do the shechita based on that. That is Tanakam. So true, the ones in the back are less reckoned with, but if they're totally damaged, then we reckon. Rabbi Shimon Kapotzu Aimer. No. Ein shechten elal chitzonis. Shechita v'bukhar is only allowed based on the damage to the front ones. Aval pnimiyos, but the ones in the back, even the shenekru, even if they're totally, totally removed, mishchat alayu l'shechtinu, you can't shech based on that. It's not enough of a mum, but, granted, it's not an unblemished animal, it's not a perfect animal. Aval if suli mipsil becomes disqualified from hakrov on the mizbeach. So it's sort of an in-between state, it's in limbo. The brisk rub they bring, he says that it's based on the pasuk mivchar nedreichem, it's got to be the best of your animals. Okay, so you can't use it as a karm, but nonetheless, it's not a mum to allow shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's the two opinions. Rabbi Chinas Nantinus Oimer, Eima Shkichna al Tiyomis Kal Iker. He takes it a step further. He says, don't pay attention to what's going on at Tiyomis. Va'afilu Yifsulu Yifsli, means to say, totally discount any blemishes there from there on back, because it's just as if it doesn't exist and there's no issue. Even you could even put it on the Mizbeach. Okay, so these are the three shittas. Now comes a new discussion. Boy, Rabbi Chata Barami, I have a question. Yesh mechusar evim bifnim. Suppose one of the internal organs of the animal is missing a kidney, surgically removed, or some sort of medical procedure, maybe a medicine or something that dissolved it. Okay, so you know he's missing an internal part. Is it considered blemished? Or perhaps not. Just because it's missing something on the inside, it's not an issue. Regarding what are we asking, Lamai, pertaining to what? Ilabukhar. You're wondering whether it's a disqualifying element in a bukhar, in which case you can shecht it anywhere? It's like any mum? No way. The pasuk specifies crippled, blind, has to be visible, as opposed to inside. Ilakachim. You'd like to know whether it disqualifies for any other carbon? Aver se shavar ksiv. Likewise, the pasuk there speaks about specific blemishes, blind, broken bone, something visible. Otherwise, not an issue. You're right. L'shchute u'lefrukilei boilam. No question. That I can't shech the bachar based on this. Nor ifruki, I can't redeem a shlamim based on this. Not really a mum. But perhaps it occupies that sort of in between position, similar to the previous Gemara. Can we boil enough suli? The question is, does it disqualify from bringing a carbon on the Mizbeach Mai? How would you look at it? I understand it's not an outright mum, but the pasuk specifies it has to be complete, full, whole. Tamim yeh l'rotzon amrachmana. Torah describes the carbon as being tamim, complete, whole, full. Tamim in, only that works. But chasar and lev, it's missing. Even internally, perhaps that's an issue. You can't bring it as a carbon. Idilm, or it's one and the same pasuk, which starts tamim yeh l'rotzon, has to be complete, as opposed to pasuk specifies, in contrast to a real mum. Kol mum shenat bi lo yeboi. So the opposite of tamim is a mum, and this is not a mum. Ma mum mavroi, just like the mum has to be on the outside visible, as established before. Achisor mavroi. Likewise, even this missing organ is not an issue, only if it's missing on the outside. Tashmei comes a raya. We seem to have a machlikas on this topic. Reshtei HaKlayis. The pasuk regarding Hashlomim speaks about the two kidneys put on the Mizbeach, indicating that the animal has two kidneys. What if it only has one? What if you discover three? That doesn't work. V'loi bal kliya achas, as opposed to a goat with just one. V'loi bal shalosh kliyos, or three. So brisa number one disallows anything but two. Tani idach, it comes another brisa, which speaks about the refers to a pasuk, Yisirena, ala klois Yisirena. Isarena is singular, indicating that even one kidney suffices. And we learn the Rabbis Kabbal Kuliya Achas to include even a one-kidneyed goat. We have a seeming contradiction between this and the previous brisa, which disallowed anything other than standard two. Sabrua, so the Bnei Yeshua figured, perhaps this is the point of disagreement. Let's make some established facts. The Kuliyam all, both brises will agree, Ein Briya B'Achas. He's not going to be born with one. We assume it's not a natural phenomenon. And the fact that he's down to one indicates that somebody tinkered with it. It was a man-made situation. And the Machlokes is whether it's a disqualifying factor, as per our discussion. Lema, perhaps we can suggest, the Machlokes revolves around this point. The second prize, the first prize, which disallows a single-kidneyed goat, that's because missing limb, even on the inside, is a problem. Umar Savar, the second brisa, says it's okay. Chesar, mifnim lo shmi chesar, it's not an issue. So perhaps this is the point of disagreement. Omar, Chibar, Yisav, no, the kol yam leish birachas. Let me re-explain the machlekes. All agree, it's possible for a goat to be born with one kidney. It's possible. V'chesar mifnim shmei chesar. On the other hand, if there's actually something missing, something removed from the inside of the animal, it would be a problem. Okay, so what's the machlokes about? Lekashya. The question is, what are we talking? What's the circumstance? The brisa. Each one reflects its own unique circumstance. I'm talking about the same case. This one is natural. This one is man-made. Lekashya. Kan. Shenivra b'shtayim. V'chasra. The first brisa, which disqualifies a single kidneyed goat, speaking that it was born with two, and then it went down to one. That's a problem. Kan, the second brisa, which allows it, Kshenivra b'achas mikar, speaking that it was born with just one. And of course, that's okay. It's not called chisarin. That's the way it came. So, the first brisa, which doesn't like the single kidney, is speaking that it initially had two and then it was removed. Says the Gemara, but that brisa represented two separate scenarios. A single kidney and a triple kidney. And we assume when the Brisa speaks about two cases, they reflect similar circumstances. Now, the three-kidneyed goat certainly wasn't man-made. It was born that way. So let's assume the single kidney was also born that way, rather than being born with two and then having deleted one, as per your suggestion. It doesn't seem from the Brisa we're talking about a man-made situation. Rather, we're talking about a natural situation. Or doing the Shalosh Ketonim, the Brisa, which speaks about a single kidney, is similar to the one with the three kidneys. Ma Shalosh Mikor Af Achas Mikor, just like the three happen naturally, likewise the single one. So let's veer away from your suggestion. Ella, rather, here comes another pshat. Hachav Yesh Bria Mikor Kamitlgi. Perhaps the Machlokes is exactly this. Can we assume that a goat can be born with a single kidney? Mar Savar Yesh Bir Bachas, the second brisa which allows a single kidney, holds that you can be born with one. That's what happened. Umar Savar Imbir Bachas, whereas the first brisa says it's impossible to be born with just one. The fact that he has one indicates that something went wrong, something went missing. Due to illness, due to, right? Rabbi Yechon Omar, Rabbi Yechon has another pshat. The Kuliyam Imbir Bachas, all agree. No animal is born with a single. On the other hand, the chesaron bifnim, shmei chesaron, a missing organ, even in the inside, is disqualifying. Like Kasha, so what's the machlokes about? How do we explain it? So all agree, it was deleted later. But it's a timing question. When did it happen? Khan, the first brisa, which doesn't allow it, shechasro kadim shechita, was speaking that it was removed before shechita, which disqualifies it. Kan shachashu lachash shchita. The second brisa speaking that happened after shchita. He shechted it whole and complete. And then he pulled out a kidney. So it's in safe territory. It's okay. Says the Gemara, we're not out of the wood yet. What do you mean? The animal has to stay intact until Kabbalah, maybe even until Zrika, we'll see. Until you finish the Hakrava process. Can't. Lachash shchita kodim Kabbalah mishari. Even if it happened after shchita, but it was before you received the blood, could you proceed to be makar this missing carbon? It's one continuous process. It has to be intact throughout. We turn to Amud Beis. Amar Rav, he quotes Rav, Atsoirim oiznapar. A person nicks the ear, damages the ear of the cow after it was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he received the blood in the container. Pasul, why shenemar v'lokam dam apar? The kabbalah has to be from that original par, hapar shahayakar, the way it was before. So it has to stay intact until after kabbalah. You're right. Ella kan shechasu katan kabbalah. Let's go back to those two brises. The brise which disqualifies due to the missing kidney, speaking that it happened before kabbalah, which freezes the process, freezes it in place. It's no good. Kan shechasu lacha kabbalah. Second brise which allows it, speaking that happened after kabbalah, you're in safe territory. So as the world, we're not yet safe until after zrika lacha kabbalah kaim zrika mishari. If it was missing between kabbalah and zrika, you can proceed. Atani, we have a brisa. It's got to be intact all throughout until you finish everything. The shechita, the kabbalah, the lacha, and the zrika. Atani, set hamim zechar ben shana yelachem. So the pasuk is talking about the carbon pesach. Se tamim zochar, right, ben shana, within a year, right, of his birth, prior to the first birthday, yelachem. And we learn she'er tamim ben shana b'shashchit. Okay, so during the shchit, he has to be complete, unblemished, and the right age. What about umenayim b'kabbalah v'lacha v'hazoya? Bezrika, different gears here. So, does that requirement apply to the Kabbalah Halacha and Zrika, the receiving of the blood, transporting to the Beis HaMikdash, applying to it to the Mizbeach, and applying it? Tamalavi, yep. Yeah, and the pasuk tells you it's one big continuum. Sheyu kol hava Yosef, tam ben shana. Yeah means that all his, all the steps of his process, of his hakrava, you should maintain the tam status and the menshana status all throughout, even until the zrika. And you're telling me that if it was missing before zrika, it's okay? Tirgma menshana. So more answers. This requirement that it stays throughout the zrika, that's only on the age factor. The pasuk refers to two factors: complete, unblemished, right, and the age factor. The age factor has to remain that way until after the zrika, but the tam factor does not. In which case, even if it was damaged before Zrika, it's okay as long as it was after Kabbalah. Achiram Mistavra, I'll even prove to you that there's no need for the animal to stay complete and whole until, you know, later. The Tani B'Sho Emer, he teaches us, Kla Zachar Shabbat, Teru Ol Karbanis, and Teru Shashtayr Mehen. There's even a bit left over. A Kazayis of the Basar, of the Karban, or Oy Kazayis Chelev, of the fat, that's good enough to bank on Zerik, so that he can proceed with his Zrika. Shema Menos, that's a clear Raya, even if most of it's gone. As long as you have some shiur of significance, you can proceed. Ask the Gemara, okay, so, but the age factor has to remain that way until the zrika? How's it possible? Mika, Midi, how can you have a situation that suddenly turned 1 year old between the shchita and the zrika? I mean, it's all the same day. You have to do the avodas by day. So how could between 10 and 10:15 he turn a year old? During the shchita, he's still within the year under a birthday. But once you get to the Kabbalah, the Elacha, that's it, he's ben shtei shana, means he's a year old, into the second year. How could it change midday? Amar Rava, yeah. Zois Ameris, we can deduce from here, Shalois. Hours play a role, play a factor. Poislais, they disqualify Bekachim regarding Karbanis. Which means to say that, let's say he was born 10 o'clock a year ago, one must ensure that he's fully processed before 10 o'clock the next year. So you can have the shchita before 10, and if he tarried and delayed the rest until after 10 o'clock, too late. He's overage. Okay, so we thought, we made an attempt, we thought we were going to find two brises disagreeing about the question that was posed earlier, right, which was, what's the status of a missing organ inside? And we offered alternate explanations to the brises. But now comes another attempt. Perhaps this question is linked to a different machlekes tanoi. What is the question? Do we reckon with internally missing organs? Is that considered emor? So we have another pasuk speaking about other blemishes with respect to the reproductive organs of the male animal. So there are the beitzim, testicles, and we have the gid, which is the actual organ. The pasuk refers to it like this. Four different forms of injury relating to that area. Umoch, the beitzim were crushed. Ukasus, even more severely crushed to the point of dissolving. Venosik, the beitzim were manually pulled off, detached from the actual animal, but still lying in the sack. V'charus, detached completely with a knife, but again, still in the sack. And Rashi says, "Umuring tzas." Charus actually refers to somewhat, they're still somewhat connected, so it's not as detached as nosuk. All these are considered blemishes, which disqualify the carbon from akrava. Kuma beitzim. These four conditions related to beitzim, the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ask the Gemara. As opposed to what? The beitzim b'lei b'gid, as opposed to the gid? If anything, the gid is more revealed. And should be a more qualifying mum than the beitzim, which are somewhat concealed in the sack. Ema af b'beitzim, the Rabbi Yehuda says, not only in the gid, which is exposed, even on the beitzim, it's considered a mum. Second opinion, he says, only on the gid. Rabbi Yossi Omer, I'll strike a compromise. Two and two. Moch v'chosus, these two conditions, after beitzim, even on the beitzim qualifies a mum. But nasa v'karos is not as severe as the severe an injury, and therefore it only qualifies if it's more on the open begid. In, yes, but beitzim, but not on the beitzim, because it's not such a visible, these aren't such visible conditions. So what's the machlekes about? My labokim miflige, perhaps the machlekes is whether chisaran mebefnim shmei chisar. How? Demar, let's go back to the first sheet, Rabbi Yehuda. All conditions are applicable even to the beitzim. He holds savar, he holds chisaran mebefnim shmei chisar. A missing limb internally qualifies. Consider chisar. In which case, even if the injury is on the beitzim, disabling the beitzim, destroying, that's considered a mum. Even though it's somewhat concealed in the sack. Umar savar, loish mi chisar. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov takes the other approach, the opposite. He says, no, it's not chisar, because it's in the inside, so it's not an issue if it's on the beitzim, only on the gid, which is visible. Ask the Gemara v'tisper, how could you suggest this as the reason for their disagreement? Because, good, you've explained Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lezman ben Yaakov, what about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, he says, well, these conditions apply to the beitzim as well. Either way, do you hold chisaran b'fnim is a chisaran or not? How could you split the cases? Rabbi Yossi, my chisaran, what does he hold? Ikot savar chisaran b'fnim shmei chisaran, if he holds internally missing, considered emum, I feel a nosav v'karetz nami. So even nosav v'karetz, detached, completely detached, somewhat detached, those two can apply to the beitzim. Because it's an injury to the organ, which is emo. Because savar loish mi chisar, if he holds like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, has to be external, as opposed to internal, then afilo moch v'chosis nami lois, even moch v'chosis, should not be considered a valid mum on the beitzim, which are hidden. How do you explain the machlekes? You're right. Let's veer away from that suggestion. It's not about the chisar b'fenim question. It's just a question of visibility. Someone has to be out in the open, right? Rashi explains, it's not really a chisaron here. Chisaron means it's totally missing, something missing. It's damaged, it's injured. Okay, so now, We have to follow the established mum guidelines, which requires a mum to be A, irreversible, and B, visible, exposed. Is this considered exposed? It's in the sac, but it's discernibly damaged, but it's not so visibly damaged. That's the question. The question is on definitions. At what point do we say it's visible? More than not. The question is, which ones are considered revealed and exposed? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, all four conditions, even on the Beitzim, qualify. Ultimately, you can see it's discernible from the outside as well. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Moch, V'chasas HaVimumah. These crushed testicles are considered a mum. The mekavtzim, because they're shrunken, they're shriveled. You see that even from the outside it's discernible. But nasuk v'karus have a mum. Those two also, nasuk v'karus, which are detached from the animal, they're also have a mum. Why do I tell? Because you see that it's hanging loose. It's not properly positioned. Rav Lezbiak of Sever says no way. Moch v'chasus, that's not a mum. They have a mum, shriveled. Even when they were healthy, sometimes they can shrivel and shrink. So it's not a discernible mum. And likewise, nasuk b'karas nami leva mum. That's also not a mum. Mikar nami zimun d'talyan. You're saying it looks detached. You know what? Even when they're healthy, sometimes they appear so. Doesn't qualify. Rabbi Yossi Savar, he says, we'll strike a compromise. Moch b'chasas, which are the most severe injuries, have mum that qualifies. Because that's visible from the outside. The last no, they're gone. You see, they're missing. They're dissolved. So it's discernible from the outside to the point that's considered a mum. But nosuk v'karus, love a mum. Those two are not a mum. There is no, because ultimately he has it. It's just dislodged, and that's not so discernible from the outside. Okay, so not so bad a shayla regarding a missing organ from the inside. A sarm rifnim is a qualifies a mum or not? And a couple of attempts at linking the shayla to the machlekas tanaim regarding the kidneys of the shlomim, that didn't really work out. And regarding the injuries just mentioned, but we came up with an alternate shot, so we leave it unresolved. Next mishnah. More examples of qualifying mumim. Nivgam hazoivam. What got damaged? The zoivam, the sac in which the male organ is situated, oya area, or the lip of the female area, shalne keva. Obviously, we're not talking about a bechor, which can only come as male. We're talking about other korbanos, like a shlomim. So the female area was damaged. Nivgam ha'zonav min ha'etzem. We have a tail that was nicked at the bone. Avalei min ha'perek, as opposed to between the sections, that will recover. Roish zonav mefatzel, esa etzem. Another type of mum is the bottom of the tail. The bone was exposed, not going to reheal. Sheish basam chuli l'chuyim le'etzba. There's some too much bas or flesh between the, too much space between the sections of the tail. Mele etzba, finger width. Here it means a thumb width. Amar belozom, nifkam l'nital. The sack around the gid was damaged. That's an issue, but l'nital, if it was totally removed, that will recover. Interesting. Sometimes more severe damage, right? Well, kis v'le zachrus. Was speaking about the sack again, but not about the actual zachrus, the Eberhah Gid, because if that's damaged, that will recover. We have the same in Abraisa, Tanya Mihochi, Nifkam Balinital, Nick, but not totally removed. Kisloi Zachrus, a sack, but not the zachrus. Abraisa and Rishulam, there was a story. Masa Be'inbal, place it in Inbal, some change it to Einbal, a certain kind of place. Echad of Echad, Shnot Le'Zeiv, V'chad Le'Sana. Yeah, a wolf snatched the sack, ripped it off the animal, and had recovered. Nivkim Azanam Netz. So we have the large gap between the sections, Amalei Etzba, that poses a concern. Now, which Etzba, the pinky, the middle finger, the thumb, the different size of fingers? The answer is the thumb. Tana, Etzba Shamra, when we speak about an Etzba, in this regard, it's echad me'arba'a b'tefach kol adam. It's a fourth, it's a quarter of a tefach. So that must be the thumb. Four of which make up a tefach. Because if it's a pinky, it's six. If it's a middle finger, it's five. So we're talking about a thumb. L'may hilchas. So regarding what matter did the chacham establish this rule that a etzba equals a thumb? So there are three applications. Amar Abulin Tcheles regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis, blue strings regarding the tzitzis. Sanya. Kamachut Nesim, how many strings does one apply to his four-cornered garment? Sham Emim Arboa, four, which are doubled over into eight, as we do. Beslaim Shloisha, it's three, which are doubled into six. Bekamatim Shaleshes, there were several pshatim on this. Rashi over here learns in the first pshat, how much space between the edge of the garment and the hole into which they insert the strings? You don't do it at the edge, you do it up in the baggage. Others learn that we're talking about the wound part of the strings, how long is that? Tosfos brings another pshat in the name of Rashi in Nachis. We're talking about how much is hanging loose, the bottom section of the strings. How much is it? How long? Four etzbois. We'll say three. And when we speak about the three here, we're talking about the finger which comprises a quarter of a tevach, which is the thumb. That's one application to this formula. Rav Huna Rav Yishua Amar, it was related regarding a different matter. L'shtei amos, two sticks, two yard sticks for measuring purposes. The snan shtei amos, there were two of these sticks. Hayu, v'shushan abira, we turn to the next time. A place in the Beis HaMikdash called Shushan Abira. It was above the eastern entry. And it was called as such because there was a picture there on the wall of Shushan, back in Shushan, back in Paras. The point was to remind them where they came from, to be makritev to Hashem for giving us the opportunity to come back, making all the nisim. Another pshat is to show gratitude, to feel thankful to the authorities for allowing them to come into the Shom Ribol Debes HaMikdash. So in any case, we had two sticks there, two measuring sticks, which were used as a point of reference for the standard Amma. So there were two of them, Achas, one on this corner, one on the other corner of the room. Achas, Al-Kar, Mizrach, HaStrayim, one was Mizrach, Tzofen room of the room. Achas, the other one was on the other corner, Al-Kar, Mizrach, HaStrayim, is sitting in the other corner of the room. Shakar Mizrach, HaStrayim, Tzofen, the one on this side, was bigger than the standard. They knew the arm of Moshe Rabbeinu, and this was bigger, longer than that, a half or etzba. In the east, southeastern corner, we had another one which was even bigger, a super jumbo arm. It was bigger than this one by a half a finger, for a total of a full finger above and beyond Moshe Rabbeinu's standard. Why did he need two? The answer is like this. It was meant for committing the contractors to this amount of work. The point was to avoid me'ilah. So you would contract with the umma, with the craftsmen, look, build, make, based on the smaller stick. Rashi explains, here we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's size. So they committed to the actual standard, the actual size, Moshe Rabbeinu's. Noitlin, they would commit Bektana. They would take the job based on the smaller. But they would actually give you more, Machzir Megdil. Their work would reflect the bigger size. Why? Because you never know, maybe they were, something lacking in their work. We don't want to risk any form of misusing, Hegdish funds. This way they give back a bit more, recover any possible, shortcomings. Shalo yavoyo de Mila shouldn't come to Mila. And the question is fine, but why do you need two jumbos? Tarti lamali. One a little bit more, one even bigger, what's the point? Depending on the cost of the material. Chada the kaspa da hava. The smaller one was meant for gold and silver. So you hired them to do some, gilding, and it's unfair to ask of them to return, to produce a full finger more than they have to. So for that, we had the half finger. The other one was meant for building purposes, where the material isn't, is relatively inexpensive, so therefore they were required to give you based on the super jumbo stick. So again, we have the term etzba, which refers to the thumb, as mentioned. Third application to this formula that the etzba is referring to a thumb, Rav Yitzchak Vitaima, some say Rav Huna ben Nosson, Lois Shanino, regarding our Mishnah. The gaps in the between the section of the tail is kimalei etzba, which finger? Sheish basa ben chol yichum lei etzba, talking about a thumb. Okay, so in a nutshell, we had a formula that the Lashon Etzba discussed in Halacha refers to a thumb. We had three applications: Tzitzis, Shushan Abira, and the Bechor. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha.